More than half the world's Boeing 717s will be for sale. JCM Farming drops its suit against California balloonists. And the city of Cerritos recalls 25 years since Flight 498. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 2nd, 2011. If you're looking for a deal on a well-maintained Boeing 717, you may be in luck. More than half the 717s in the world are going to be looking for new homes. Southwest Airlines, known for its all 737 fleet, inherited more than 80 of the smaller 717s in its acquisition of AirTran, and had suggested early on it might hold on to the planes to serve smaller markets. But CEO Gary Kelly now says the company sees no advantage in keeping the smaller planes. The 717 started life as the McDonnell Douglas MD-95, an evolution of the earlier MD-80 and DC-9. There were only about 156 of them made before production ended in 2006. AirTran owns more than half the world fleet, including the first and last 717s ever made. USA Today cites FlightGlobal.com in reporting the 717 leases begin to expire between 2017 and 2024, and that Southwest is in discussions with Boeing about those leases. Hot air balloonists in California have achieved what may be a hollow victory over JCM Farming Incorporated of Solana Beach. The corporation constructed a fortified compound and erected signs warning of guard dogs and armed response to trespassers on land zoned for agricultural use. In an apparent effort to impose its own restrictions on the use of airspace above its facility, the company filed lawsuits against hot air balloon ride providers that it said were flying too low over its facility, which it described in part as, quote, intended to provide a secure meeting place and retreat for VIPs, dignitary, and other notable individuals and or the companies they represent, unquote. The FAA twice investigated the complaints and found the balloonists were operating within the regulations. Finally, after more than 2 years, on August 15th, the suits were dropped. But the Desert Sun reports it's too late for many of the defendants, whose businesses were essentially destroyed. One balloonist claims he spent $177,000 in attorney's fees. It may be possible for the former defendants to sue JCM for damages caused to their businesses, but it's not clear any of the balloonists will open that door to more unknown legal costs. A low-key ceremony was held Wednesday in Cerritos, California, on the 25th anniversary of a mid-air collision which played a role in changing the way we fly in controlled airspace. On August 31, 1986, Aeromexico Flight 498, a DC-9, was descending into Los Angeles International Airport after a flight from Mexico City with 64 passengers and crew on board. According to the NTSB, at 11:52 a.m. Pacific Time, a Piper PA-28 collided with the tail of the airliner at 6,560 feet MSL, instantly killing its pilot and two passengers and tearing off most of the tail of the bigger plane. The Piper came down in an unoccupied schoolyard, but the DC-9 hit a residential neighborhood, where the impact and fire which followed destroyed five homes and damaged seven others. All 64 souls aboard the airliner were lost, and 15 people on the ground also died. Much came of the NTSB's findings. The Piper was on a VFR flight, but had climbed into the Los Angeles Terminal Control Area, which started at 6,000 feet. There was no requirement for the Piper to be in contact with the tower or to carry a Mode C transponder back in 1986, and the terminal had no automated warning systems which would have alerted the controller. NTSB determined the controller was distracted by another small plane, which had also strayed into the TCA without clearance. Partly as a result of the Cerritos accident, the FAA instituted a requirement for traffic and collision avoidance systems, TCAS, in airliners, and created what is now called the Mode C veil in the vicinity of major airports. In Cerritos, the ceremony was held at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time Wednesday, with a moment of silence scheduled for 11:52. It was held in the Cerritos Sculpture Garden, which opened in 2006 with three sculptures designed to evoke the image of wings, one each for the airline passengers, the people aboard the Piper, and those who died on the ground. The flight number, 498, is still used by Aeromexico for its service between Monterrey and Mexico City. Up next on ANN, the new 4Flight version supports Aspen's connected panel. Glime adds an online course for the inspection authorization. and a new song has meaning for NASA and for aviation in general. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. Aspen Avionics and 4Flight announced Wednesday that 4Flight Mobile 4.1 currently includes support for Aspen's connected panel technology, which is scheduled for release by the end of the year. Users will be able to wirelessly tune radios and submit and retrieve flight plans using the Aspen Connected Panel Communication Network. Tyson Ways, managing director of 4Flight, commented, quote, "Until today, no mechanism existed that would allow an iPad to communicate with avionics, which limited the workflow efficiencies a pilot could gain by utilizing the iPad as an interface to the panel. 4Flight Mobile 4.1 and the Aspen Connected Panel demonstrate what is now possible, and we are excited about what this step forward means for the future," unquote. In addition to the radio and flight plan interface, 4Flight Mobile 4.1 allows a pilot with a connected panel to view a status screen within 4Flight Mobile that shows what capabilities within the aircraft can interact with the application. Aspen VP of Marketing Brad Hayden commented, quote, "4Flight worked early on with Aspen during connected panels development to provide input into the framework for this new technology. It is fitting that 4Flight is the first connected panel partner to bring to market a version of its product that leverages this innovative platform," unquote. GLIME has expanded its training curriculum for aviation maintenance with the addition of a new Inspection Authorization Training Course, or IATC. The purpose of the course is to provide aviation maintenance technicians a concise guide to one of the most difficult tests in aviation, the Inspection Authorization Knowledge Test. IATC guides AMTs through the requirements of obtaining an IA and provides thorough preparation on all topics necessary for certification. With extensive reference material, easy-to-understand audiovisual presentations, and interactive testing features, the online course provides what the company promises to be only the most relevant information, while minimizing training time, cost, and frustration. Company President Dr. Irvin Gleim comments, quote, "We developed this course in direct response to user feedback from many individuals. Our AMT training courses have been popular sellers since their release several years ago, and we thought that it was only a natural progression to help mechanics further their career and achieve the much-coveted IA rating," unquote. The Inspection Authorization Training Course is $99.95 for 12 months of access and joins the popular GLIM Inspection Authorization Renewal Course, which thousands of IAs use annually to renew their ratings, in the GLIM Training Catalog. To introduce IATC, GLIM is offering the opportunity to sample one study unit free at its website, www.glim.com. That's G-L-E-I-M. Part of the activities surrounding the July 8th launch of NASA's Space Shuttle Atlantis on the program's final mission, STS-135, was an appearance at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex by country artist Ansel Brown, who performed his song "When You Fly" for thousands of guests. Brown explains, quote, "I wrote When You Fly with my wife Lisa about flying and daring to dream. To me, this song is perfect in explaining that NASA will continue daring to dream. NASA is going to continue well beyond the shuttle," unquote. But there is a little more to the role played by Lisa and her family in the story of the song's creation. According to an FAA newsletter, Lisa's grandfather is Richard Wixom, who was inducted last year into the Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame. The Hall's website notes that Dick Wixom founded Black Hawk Airways in 1971 and went on to acquire a fleet of 18 aircraft, including 14 Beech-18s. According to the Focus FAA newsletter, Dick Wixom's induction into the Hall last year is what inspired Lisa to work with her husband to finish the song in honor of her father. It was only after it was already recorded in Nashville that Ansel Brown heard a radio interview with NASA astronaut Mark Kelly and realized the new song had an obvious connection to the end of the shuttle program. During the performance at KSC, Ansel sang while Lisa joined him on stage to relate the lyrics in sign language. Afterward, Lisa says she and her husband had fun talking with astronauts, especially after they found out Lisa is an air traffic controller.
When you fly, just you on those wings, soaring high. You always live to fly and you dare to dream. Above it all, you've seen amazing things. Sometimes you even feel the hand of God when you fly.
You can hear the whole song at AnselBrown.com. Just click on the music tab when you get there. That's the latest from Aero News. Monday is the U.S. Labor Day holiday, and this Aero Briefing will return on Tuesday the 6th. Our next special feature with Bob Miller will be Monday, September 12th. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.